The lotus feet of the localized personality of Godhead. Bhava-nirjita. Mind transformed in transcendental love for the Lord. Chetasa. All mental activities. Thinking, feeling, and willing. Otkantya. Eagerness. Ashrukala. It looks like Ashrukala. I can't see whether it's. Is it? Oh, it looks like Ashrukala. Not a long A at the end. Tears roll down.
Tears roll down.
Akshasya.
Akshasya.
Of the eyes.
Of the eyes.
Hridi.
Hridi.
Within my heart.
Within my heart.
Asid.
Asid.
Appeared.
Appeared.
May.
May.
My.
My.
Shanai.
Shanai.
Without delay.
Without delay.
Harihi.
Harihi.
The personality of Godhead.
Personality of Godhead.
As soon as I began to meditate upon the lotus feet, let's say this again. Oh, it's all that. As soon as I began to meditate upon the lotus feet of the personality of Godhead with my soul, with my mind transformed in transcendental love, tears rolled down my eyes, and without delay the personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna, appeared on the lotus of my heart. Purport, the word bhava is significant here. The bhava stage is attained after one has transcendental affection for the Lord. The first initial stage is called samadhi, or a liking for the Supreme Lord, and in order to increase the liking, that liking, one has to associate with pure devotees of the Lord. The third stage is to practice the prescribed rules and regulations of devotional service. This will dissipate all sorts of misgivings and remove all personal deficiencies that hamper progress in devotional service. When all misgivings and personal deficiencies are removed, there is a standard faith in transcendental matter, and the taste for it increases in greater proportion. This stage leads to attraction, and after this there is bhav, or the prior stage of unalloyed love for God. All the above different stages are but different stages of development of transcendental love. Being so surcharged with transcendental love, there comes a strong feeling of separation, which leads to 8 different kinds of ecstasies. Tears from the eyes of a devotee is an automatic reaction, and because Sri Narad Muni in his previous birth attained that stage very quickly after his departure from home, it was quite possible for him to perceive the actual presence of the Lord, which he tangibly experienced by his developed spiritual senses without material tinge. Om Jnanati Mirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurin Vilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namah. Vandeham Shri Guru Yatah Parakamalam Shri Guru Navaishnavam Shri Rupam Sakrajatam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakam Vitam Sadvaitam Vandeham Shri Guru Yatah Parakamalam Shri Guru Navaishnavam Shri Rupam Sakrajatam Sahagana Raghunatan Vitam Tam Sajiva Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parajana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shivashakam Vitangsa. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Now it's natural to cry, or to feel, as an expression of transcendental affection upon perceiving Sri Krishna, thinking of Sri Krishna, hearing his name. As soon as there is remembrance of Krishna, it's natural to cry. We don't cry because our hearts are hard, being covered by material desires. But otherwise, that is natural. In the modern age, there are so many newspapers and magazines and TV, all these things, and we see photos of different people and information is relayed about them, but we don't feel any particular emotion, we don't feel any particular attraction for them. But with Krishna, it's natural to feel attraction for him. He is Krishna, which means all attractive. So that's natural. Even his, what to speak of Krishna, his pure devotees, bhakti, what is that? Bhakti, bhakti rasa patra, the devotees who are the repositories of bhakti rasa, who themselves are wrapped in transcendental affection for Krishna, they also stimulate transcendental affection in those whose hearts are at least somewhat softened. And we see that wherever Prabhupada went, it was quite common that devotees would just break down in tears. And there was this Kurma Prabhu was telling his remembrances of Prabhupada, and then he was quite humorous the way he was telling it, because he's a humorous kind of fellow, that he was saying that whenever there was a devotee, I think her name was Krishna Premavati, I think that's who it was, or maybe it was Ambika. So whenever she saw Prabhupada, she would just cry. So they told her, you know, Prabhupada's coming, they had it all rehearsed, Prabhupada's coming and what everyone should do. And everyone's duty, you do this, you do that, and Ambika, don't cry. But of course she did, he said. Did you all see those Prabhupada remembrances, those DVDs? They're very well, I saw them all that came out, except the latest one, which I hope to get today. So they're wonderful how the devotees are speaking about Prabhupada, and two of them particularly struck me. One was Shama Sunda Prabhu, the original. There are at least three Prabhupada disciples I know by the name Shama Sunda. So he was talking about Prabhupada, and it was like, you know, his voice was always cracking and sometimes laughing and sometimes crying. You saw that? It's very wonderful. And there's another, I think it's Krishna Kanti, who was talking about his memories of Prabhupada. And no, they're all talking about their memories of Prabhupada. That's what the subject is. So he just described how, well, Krishna Kanti was, along with Madhu Mangal, they were doing he had done this album, Change of Heart. It was the first modern style music album. Wasn't the first. Before that, they'd done one setting the Hare Krishna mantra and other tunes to modern music. Not gross music, but Western, not even modern, Western. Then it was the first album to have like original lyrics in English, and Change of Heart and all this, and something about caterpillar becoming a butterfly or something. All this, O Govinda within my heart and all this kind of thing. So they came, and Prabhupada was in Los Angeles, they came, and he was describing Krishna Kanti, how they brought it in and they played it a bit, and they said, well, Prabhupada, is it all right if we do this? And Prabhupada said, yes, it's all right. He said, what is it? Sometimes you have to allow the cow to kick a bit. In other words, Prabhupada wasn't that enthusiastic, but you know, it's their idea, let them do what they like. So, and then it was a short interview, because of course Prabhupada is very busy, and as usual. So then they went out again. And then Krishna Kanti, he said, just as I went out, Prabhupada called me back. And then he just broke down in tears. You know, he's a huge guy like this. Now he must be 50 years old, something like that. He just broke down and he was crying and crying and crying. And he went on for about 5 or 7 minutes. It was all on the tape. He's just trying to speak, and every time he tries to speak, he starts crying. And he said, then he said to Siddhanta, finally said, I'm sorry. He said, don't worry, you're not the only one. and he said, don't worry, we'll edit it. But he didn't edit it, he left it all. And then
Krishna Gani was explaining that Prabhupada called me back, and then he asked more, and he discussed her, and he was just overcoming the emotion. Thing about Prabhupada, that Prabhupada, even though he's such a great world acharya, but he took some personal interest in me. He was that was how he felt, so emotional. And there's so many devotees who feel like that. And so many devotees, of course, we're discussing philosophy, there's so many things, philosophy of Krishna consciousness, and Prabhupada was always talking philosophy, but there are many, many devotees who they felt they had to surrender to Prabhupada, not really due to any philosophy, but just by seeing him. One devotee was telling me about another devotee whose only memory of Prabhupada was that he came... Oh, who was that? I can't remember. Maybe he was telling me himself. Anyway, the story was that he came for the first time ever to the temple, and Prabhupada was there, and there, all the devotees were outside. He was waiting in the temple. He came to the temple and he's told that Prabhupada's just coming. It's like they had never been to the temple, didn't know anything about Krishna consciousness. He just had, well, he'd had some initial contact, and as a result he came to the temple. And he's like a completely spaced out hippie, as the saying goes. There's not really any need to say spaced out hippie. It's like saying wet water or something like that. You want to just turn over? Okay, alright. It's all on being recorded here anyway, so if you, we can give you all of this if you want it. Yeah. So anyway, Jadubha Prabhu was there in the temple. He was waiting by the Vyasa-san because he had to, you know, if he knew he had to be there, otherwise he couldn't get, once all the devotees came in, he couldn't get a spot at the front to photograph Prabhupada. So just before Prabhupada came in, he said to this spaced out hippie, "Can you hold this?" It was like the umbrella over Prabhupada, and, or it was a shade for the, you know, when they're doing the photograph, you need, sometimes they have this umbrella, white shade. He says an umbrella, I just took it for granted that it was the photographic umbrella. Maybe it was the, probably wasn't the ceremonial umbrella. So anyway, he did that, and then, you know, all of a sudden, the room was, Prabhupada was there, and the room was full of devotees, and he said, "I realized that if I wasn't holding this, there'd be no way I'd get anywhere near to Prabhupada, because the room was full of devotees, and none of them were going to give even quarter of a millimeter. They weren't going to go back. They were all going to be as close to Prabhupada as they could." So he was standing next to Prabhupada all through the lecture. And he said, at one point, Prabhupada turned and looked at him and said, "Yes." And he can't remember what Prabhupada said before that. But he said, at that point, "Oh, I got to surrender to this person." So you could say that's completely affective rather than philosophical. But Prabhupada affected people. His, just by seeing him, some words... people felt, "Oh, I just have to, just something clicked in their heart, and they, oh, now I have to surrender. I have to surrender to this person. I have no choice, but I have to do it." So that's the effect of the tremendous presence of a pure devotee. He carries Krishna in his heart. That verse is here, Vidur, when he was welcomed back to the palace. I can't remember exactly what it says, but it says that devotees like yourself are places of pilgrimage. Vidur had just been out on pilgrimage to so many places of pilgrimage. When he came back, Yudhishthira Maharaj said to him that you are yourself a place of pilgrimage, because you carry the Lord always within your heart. And we feel just like we were in 26 Second Avenue, and It's just another storefront in New York. There are so many. It's a very ordinary building, but you can feel there's a presence there. Because Prabhupada was there Prabhupada was there so much. You chanted so much. Any of Prabhupada's rooms, you're going in the manor when you go in Prabhupada's room, even though it's used a lot for all kinds of, well, they have regularly classes that they actually use that room, but you can, it's not just like a museum like in Los Angeles, but you can feel Prabhupada's presence there. In Prabhupada's rooms in Vrindavan, it's very powerful, where Prabhupada left this world. Everyone who goes there can appreciate that, oh, there's Prabhupada, you can feel he's still there. So devotees, they have potency, great devotees have potency like the Lord. Etadishanam, he says, Yaprakriti stopi tadguna. Nayujyate sadatma sthaya. Sadatma stho. Last line, I'm forgetting. Anyway, it says that the devotees, they just like the Lord, they are above the three modes of material nature. And they are as blessed as he. So this is Krishna conscious, to cry for Krishna, not artificially, but in other words, not making a show or like putting chili powder in your nose or something that can induce tears, but actual feeling for Krishna, that's stated in Nectar of Devotion, that one should cry for Krishna. One should learn this technique. If one can cry for Krishna, then that is the perfection of life. So that is natural. It's natural to cry for Krishna. That we're not crying is our misfortune. Years ago, Gurudas, he was based in England for some time. He was Gurudas Swami at that time. He's a very affectionate, genial fellow. So he was saying that we're looking forward to the day when the temple commander has to appoint someone with a mop to mop up after the kirtans. There'll be so much tears everywhere. So, that is wanted. Kobe hobe bolo shede nama amar aparadha guchi shuddha name ruchi kripa bale hobe hridaye shancha. When will that day be mine? Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, when my offense is ceasing, taste for the name increasing, when by the power of that mercy, then the holy name will be manifested in my heart. And then he goes through all the prayers of the Shikshashtaka, paraphrasing them, including that Bepottu Boybarna, when will my body always be trembling, and the paleness, that means becoming white like a sheet in love of Krishna. When, oh, when will that day be mine? So we can pray like that. It's not artificial. That is a gift. When by our sincere service attitude, being free from all offenses, if we can attain the affection of Krishna or his devotees, that will be our good fortune. Even a dog, we find that Shivananda Sen, even a dog, somehow he had some affection for a dog. And the dog went back to Godhead by the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur prays to become the dog of Krishna. Krishna or a devotee? Vaishnava Thakur Tomar Kukur Baliho Jana Hamore. I wish if I can get that position as a dog. Kita janma hao jatha tu adas. Bahimukha Brahma Janma Nahi Ashle. Let it be that I will take birth as a little insect, a bug, if I can be your devotee. But if I can become a Brahma, but inimical to you, I have no such desire. So if we can actually think like that, then we can, if we have so much affection for Krishna that we would prefer to be his devotee in the most abominable material situation rather than having the most exalted material position but no devotion for Krishna. If our affection is so sincere, then certainly Krishna will extend his affection to us. So Bhagavatam, it is a book of tattva gyan, or philosophical knowledge, and rasa, the philosophical knowledge culminates in rasa, or transcendental mellow, or the mellows of transcendental emotional exchange between Krishna and his devotees. And of the two, rasa is most important. Ultimately, the philosophy is meant for experience of rasa. It cannot be had except by sincere service attitude, not by any artificial means, but that is the goal of Bhagavatam. Pibhata Bhagavata Rasa Malaya Muhuraho Rasika Bhuvi Bhavaka. In the beginning of Bhagavatam, Vyasadeva enjoins, go on drinking this bhakti ras, Srimad Bhagavatam. Go on drinking, as long as we're in this world, just go on drinking this. Again and again, muhu, oho, oh, rasika bhuviba. Those who are rasik devotees, or those who are relishing the mellows of devotional service within this world, they should go on relishing this. So, we should do so. The philosophy, and also we can regularly hear Krishna Leela, hear about the pastimes of Krishna and his devotees, so that we can develop the attraction for that which is our natural position, to be attracted to Krishna. Hare Krishna. Any question or comment about this?
Yeah. There's the existence of some videotape somewhere of back in the golden days of the Zonal Acharyas, they had some big Mahapuja, Guru Puja for them, all 11 of them or something in one place. And also on the video is some lady devotee in the background, starting to cry and everything. Mm. Now,
transcendental sentiment expressed for persons who later it was seen that they may not have been on such a high level of realization.
Mm. So what was that?
One thing is that ladies often cry sentimentally. That's there. But of course, if that sentiment is also... ladies more than men may do also. But if that sentiment for Krishna is there for Krishna, that's good. So if she saw Krishna there, then that's Krishna consciousness.
Well, was it for Krishna? I mean, it was for...
I don't know. I can't go and do a a retrospective psychological analysis of what she was thinking of. But it may be the same mode of thinking. These persons, they're representing Krishna. And it's interesting, actually. In Bangladesh, I had a realization where there was a Rath Yatra going on, and it used to be Rath Yatra of Jagannath, Subhadra, and Baladev, but it was some Sahajya Sampradaya had much. They changed to make it very strange. I think it may be still Jagannath, Subhadra, Baladev, but you don't see the deities because they just bring them out for a few seconds in wrapped in cloth so you can't see them, and then just run them from here to there. Very strange. But anyway, what struck me the most was this kirtan group who were jumping up and down in apparent ecstasy, chanting some bogus mantra, exulting some bogus so-called incarnation. So that is described in Nectar Devotion. That's called shadow ecstasy. That it may have some... it's like a shadow of actual Krishna consciousness. It's not actual Krishna consciousness. It may appear to be actual Krishna consciousness, but it's not. So that is also there. So it struck me how people, they may feel some strong emotions, but it's not actually real. It's not coming from the soul. It's coming from the platform of misplaced sentiment. One time, there was a devotee, and he was in Hyderabad. He was doing the pujari, and I can't remember exactly what happened. He was sent away or something to some other temple, and then he came back because he wanted to worship the deities there. And Prabhupada said, "This is bhav. Transcendental emotion." I think anyone who's been in this movement for even not very long time, they will have experienced some deeply felt emotions, isn't it? At some point, maybe in a kirtan or seeing the deities, or at some point, some deep emotions. All devotees have experienced this, isn't it? Doesn't happen all the time, but sometimes it may be, especially if we've been really trying to do something in divine. It's happened to me one or two times. Sometimes you're trying to, like, really work, endeavoring hard and in taking difficulties in Krishna consciousness, and then Krishna may reward you, giving a little taste of the nectar of pure Krishna consciousness. I think we've all experienced that at some point. If that, but that's not, that can't be equated with the bhav that comes before prem, because one has to actually go through all these stages. Maybe a little taste of that, Krishna's mercy. Give us something to remember so we can go on and attempt to serve Krishna more and more with that encouragement. So, the lady crying, was it pure devotional service? Yes, in the sense that we would hope that her attitude was pure. But whether it's like the realized stage of pure devotional service in which one never falls down, unlikely. Because many persons who have experienced that, they've also fallen down afterwards. But they don't forget. You can never actually forget. That verse is there in Bhagavatam. Oh, I'm dull-headed today. I woke up in the night and couldn't get back to sleep. So. Anyway, what's that verse? Katanchana vrajen smiran makundangri. Navai jano jatu katanchana vrajen smiran makundangri upaguhanam punar. Next two lines, I don't remember. It says that Narada is speaking to Vyasa. It must be somewhere around here, in chapter 5. He says that, my dear Vyasa, even though a devotee of the Lord may somehow or other fall down, he doesn't fall down in the same way that the materialists do. Because one who has tasted the nectar of the lotus feet of the Lord cannot but remember that ecstasy again and again. Prabhupada says in the purport that a fallen devotee should never be considered like a karmi. He said that he gave the example that there are orphans who are genuine orphans, and there are people who have their rich and loving father, but somehow they went away from them. But the father doesn't forget them. So at some point in time they'll come back. Smaran Mukandanga Yopa Gohanam. Navajano Jati Tantra Vajan. Mukunda Savyanga Vadanga Sangsrajan Smaran Mukandanga Yopa Gohanam. I got three lines this time. Anything else? Transcendental psychology?
Since you said in the class that women cry easily, how do you know what's real and what's not real?
Well, that was the question, wasn't it? And I answered that it may be difficult to say.
I'm not asking for anybody else, I'm just asking for
you. But that even that tendency to cry, if that's directed towards Krishna, then that's very good. If that sentiment, you know, you go to some romantic movie and you might start crying or something. But that's useless. But if that sentiment is directed towards Krishna, that's very good. So what's real and what's not real? Well, as much as the sentiment is pure, then it's real.
Well, if it's directed towards Sai Baba,
then it's, you know, those tears will take you to hell. You'll be crying a different kind of tear. But I don't know if we find anyone. I've never heard of anyone being like emotionally attached to Sai Baba. It's like a very kind of mundane attachment.
Like a business attachment.
Yeah, it's a business attachment. He does, it's very materialistic. They do this for me, this and that for me. I don't, there's no like affection there. Even there may be other gurus who are not devotees, who may invoke some affection. That may be, I've heard devotees tell me, like their previous gurus. Some non-devotees, they're actually saintly in many ways. They're like, they're very kindly and this and that. Swami Shivananda, he was I would say in many ways he was a genuine sadhu, even though he wasn't, you know, he was a Mayavadi type. But I've met Mayavadis who are actually like they're what you would call saintly persons. They're very, you know, actually very, not on the purely transcendental platform, but very warm personalities, genuine kind of personalities. So, what to speak of saintly, I mean, even like, you know, people's fathers and mothers, they invoke affection, not just because they're the father and mother, but because the care they've taken and the example they've set and all this. People appreciate that. But that's mundane. But if it's directed towards Krishna and his devotees, then it becomes transcendental.
I remember once, I think I was in Vijayawada, the Krishna Pushkar Mela, and the group next to us, they were Sai Baba devotees, not the Sai Baba with the Afro hairdo.
Shirdi Sai Baba.
Yeah, Shirdi Sai Baba. And so
another business relationship.
Yeah, but
he's not as bad as the. I mean, it's like, you know, wet stool and dry stool, but he's not as bad as the. As the Satya Sai Baba.
So they were having these 24-hour Sai Baba kirtans.
Oh, that just reminds me. Actually, I was staying for some time in one. I mean, I used to visit one town, and there was no place to stay actually. So I used to stay with one Sai fan, Shirdi Sai. You know, all the man like that, he's a saintly person. No transcendental philosophy. Yeah, so they're having their Shirdi Sai kirtans.
Yeah, it was just, you know, it just makes you think that, you know, in India at least, it's a lot harder. Just, you know, Prabhupada says you can go on chanting Hare Krishna 24 hours, but you can't chant it, you know, the, you know, a material thing, you know, like.
Mm-hmm. They were going on for 24 hours.
They were pretty into it, too. Sai Baba, you know, 24 hours staying up all night.
Phew, what a penance for you. They have to be next to that.
Yeah, the Swami came over and introduced, you know, it was a mela, you know, it was like all the sadhus in one place. So the Swami came over and introduced himself. Yeah, you know, I'm with the Sai Baba next door. You know, I'm this and that, such and such Swami. Who are you guys?
Therefore, philosophy is required. In this class, I was talking about transcendental sentiment, but philosophy is required. Otherwise, we may be misled by mundane sentiments. And and think that it's transcendental because we're having some sentiment. But everything has to be understood through Shastra. Rupa Goswami discusses this in the Bhaktirasamrita Sindhu about genuine sentiment, mixed sentiment, false sentiment, shadow sentiment, all these things. He analyzes them somewhat. But Rupa Goswami also says, lolyam, greed, is the only price to get Krishna. Krishna bhakti rasa bhavita mati kriyatam yadi katopi labhyate tatra lolyam api mulyam ekalam janma koti sukritaya nalabhyate. Janma koti sukritaya nalabhyate. I missed one word somewhere. So that is the bhakti ras, bhakti bhavana. Krishna, if somehow or other you can purchase it, then do it. What's the price to pay? Lolyam, a very strong desire. The only price. Apimulyam ekalam. Janma koti sukritayana labhyate. Otherwise, materialistic, pious activities, even in millions of lives, cannot award Krishna bhakti. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. 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 J